Blog Talk Radio.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical. Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. And, you know, we're here to just talk about, you know, barefooting in general, give different advice, support. We talk about a wide variety of topics, but also, you know, we do have same general, you know, topics that we talk about because, you know, barefooting is a routine. Barefooting plays a routine part in mine and Audrey's daily lives as people, you know, with our own neurodivergent conditions as well as with our own, you know, physical health conditions. So, you know, barefooting is, you know, a big aspect of, you know, my health as well as Audrey, who will be on here in a second to host with us today. Okay. I don't think she's on yet, so. One second. Sorry. I think my phone is now reconnected. Sorry, my having technical difficulty issues. I think everything's fine now. Okay. Sorry, guys. It's been a hectic week, and it seems like technology is always trying to play games. I will have a new laptop coming in next week, finally, so that will definitely make running the ads and doing things like this easier. But, yeah, sorry about that. Audrey should hopefully be on here to, you know, do the show with us today. It's been a very hectic time, for sure, and, you know, barefooting is definitely really important. I was planning on trying to do the show, you know, outside today, but there's just too much going on out there right now for me to even be able to do that. But it's a very important time, I feel like, to be grounded. And so if you're feeling it, you know, you're not alone. It is a very stressful time in general, I think, for a lot of people and for most people. You know, the economy is rough. You know, there's a lot of things happening in politics. There's a lot of just unsafe situations happening, and it's really hard to feel in control. It's really hard to feel grounded. It's really hard to feel like your head is aligned, you know, and I'm, you know, speaking from experience, you know, for myself, but from most people that I've talked to, you know, everybody seems to feel the same way. And the only way for a lot of people to feel in control and to feel grounded is just to disconnect. And it's really hard because, you know, this disconnection, you know, can cause more issues. And I think, you know, disconnection is something that we need to even explore further. You know, we see people disconnecting from, you know, the world around them and in their physical environment, but we also see a lot of disconnection from the earth. And if you've been, you know, if you've done your research, if you've been listening, if, you know, you're even into astronomy, you know, that there are electromagnetic fields. And, you know, the earth is electric and the sun is electric and the earth is magnetic. And it's really important for us, though, to ground our excessive electrical energy to the earth and allow the earth to, you know, neutralize it. And because, you know, our electrical energy going back to the earth, that doesn't harm the earth. You know, that there hasn't been any documentation of this harming the earth. And if anything, all of the harm that has happened to the earth has gone alongside just maladaptive, ill-planned advancements that have destroyed the earth. You know, pollution, you know, we've got microplastics and everything, you know, and it's hard, you know, it's hard because, you know, if you're a person who cares about the environment, I get it. Like it's scary and it's hard, but you know what? There is hope. And, you know, we all, you know, one person isn't going to magically change the world. Yeah. You know, that's not going to happen, unfortunately, until a person, you know, has divine powers, you know, we're not going to see that, you know, and I hope I'm making sense. I really do. But this is why it is so important for us to have community. Community is where we have change, and community is, you know, how we it's how we fix all these issues, you know? And I think it's really interesting with how all the pollution and the destruction of the earth has gone alongside the disconnection from the earth. And that disconnection isn't just, you know, the fact that people don't spend enough time in nature, or that their, you know, nature is so, you know, limited and so controlled. You know, we don't allow, you know, trees to, you know, or certain native plants, you know, to grow certain ways or to grow in certain places because it doesn't look proper. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit some social norm etiquette, and which is also just kind of really stupid to begin with, you know, when native plants are the, you know, best thing for that ecosystem and whatever, you know, it's just silly, I guess, whatever. But at the same time, like what I'm trying to say is that, you know, also this connection is also very real with our electromagnetic energy, our forces, you know, the idea of aura can really be understood as your electromagnetic field. Everything has an electromagnetic field. Objects have electromagnetic fields. You know, we as people, our belongings, we can alter the electromagnetic fields of our belongings based on our own electromagnetic field. Electromagnetic fields are very simple and yet also very complicated. But they're very much so real. And we are electrical beings. We have electrical energy. But there is also magnetism there as well. But when we're not grounding to the earth, like through barefooting, we have too much of this excessive electrical energy that really does and has proven in through research and studies to, you know, cause and also amplify chronic illnesses and to exaggerate, you know, a lot of conditions that may already be pre-existing. You have too much electrical energy in your body storing up, that's going to exaggerate the impact that it's going to have on your health. And this doesn't mean exaggerate as in like, oh, you're making it up. No, I'm talking about like, this is going to cause this to amplify and deteriorate, you know, like, so having too much electrical energy in the body is not good. But also, I mean, not having enough, you know, is also, you know, not good. That's also why it's really important for us to, you know, get in the sunlight. And that's why it's really important for us to, you know, be in, you know, natural lighting, in having, you know, vitamin D and all these other things and not, you know, just living under artificial lighting all the time. But also, you know, wear your sunscreen, protect your skin, skin cancer, melanoma, all those things, unfortunately, are real. Also, just protect your skin in general. So don't forget to wear sunscreen if you're out, you know, and barefoot and having a good time and chilling in the sun or whatever. Even on cloudy days, you know, the sun is still real, and the clouds can actually amplify the, because of the little water droplets in the clouds, water, you know, it's the little droplets, it amplifies the UV rays coming through, which can actually cause, you know, people to even burn even more on cloudy days. And I actually do know people that have had that happen. So, you know, remember to wear sunscreen, remember to moisturize, protect your skin. And if you're somebody that sunburns really easily, you know, and maybe put it on your feet, you know, that might be a thing that could help, especially. But in general, I would recommend putting sunscreen on your feet. You know, not trying to tell anyone to do, but I do recommend protecting your skin, and that includes your feet. Yeah, if you're somebody that barefoots all the time, like, you have to think that, like, your feet are going to be exposed to the sun as well. So, you know, it sounds kind of silly, but a lot of what I use on my face, I'm also going to use on my feet. And, you know, my feet are definitely a lot more durable, but, like, I even moisturize my feet like I would my face because I don't want to cause, you know, unnecessary damage to my feet and the skin because of barefooting all the time either, you know. So we do need to protect ourselves. But going back to the electromagnetic field thing, you know, we have to remember, too, that most shoes have a rubber sole, and then that rubber sole is going to stop the flow of electrons and the flow of electrical energy from your body to the earth. And so this is why barefooting is important, you know, anchor, release, let go of a lot of that excessive electrical energy. There's a lot of research. If you look into Dr. Clint Ober, he's done a lot of research, and there are other people out there have done research about, you know, the importance of grounding the electrical energy in our bodies to the earth, or just grounding it in general. And there are different products, tools, devices that you can even look into for that, to ground in other ways, especially if maybe grounding to the earth isn't something that is accessible to you, but perhaps maybe buying one of these things would be, depending on the circumstances, especially, you know, if you have a disability that, you know, makes it harder for you to be able to barefoot on your grounding mats and different things. If you go over to the Instagram Real Barefoot is Legal in the link tree, there's some links to shows and whatnot, but there is also links to different sites and resources talking about grounding and barefooting. There is a YouTube one where video tagged where somebody tried an earthing product for 60 days. And so, you know, they have their own like little review on it. And so if you want to look into that, if you are interested in grounding products, and there's other stuff there if you want to look into more, as well as the other social medias. So I definitely recommend looking at that if you're interested. But it's really important to remember that we need to ground that excessive electrical energy in our bodies to the earth. And we have to remember that our brains and our hearts are electrical, you know, so when we're going through a lot of things in our life, you know, like grief, some kind of loss, some kind of separation, divorce, abandonment, a trauma, you know, some kind of big, just radical, not radical, but just a big change in someone's life, you know, anything like those that may cause, you know, a lot of heavy emotions, healing in general, if you're in a, you know, space of really working on your healing and unpacking and processing trauma, there's going to be a lot of extra, you know, energy in that heart space, and not just on a spiritual level, but literally on an energetic level in the body. And also, too, if you, you know, struggle from any type of mental illness, even chronic pain, or if you're, you know, an overthinker of some kind, have any kind of neurodivergent condition, you're also going to have a lot more electrical energy in your brain. You know, I myself, you know, have ADHD, autism, and PTSD, and, you know, that is just how my brain is wired, but there are a lot of different types of neurodivergent conditions, and all different types of neurodivergent people are going to have more electrical energy going on in their brains because of what's going on up there. And, you know, it's research shows that neurodivergent people use about 7 to 10% of their brain for conscious activity, while neurotypical people only use about 5%. And that includes, and when I say neurodivergent people use about 5 to 10%, that includes all neurodivergent people. There's a lot more going on in our brains consciously. And you also have to think, when you have a lot more going on in your brain consciously, that is going to affect your executive function. That is going to affect your ability to, you know, perceive and communicate as efficiently with the environment, because you're being bombarded by so much. You know, regardless of whatever that is going on in your neurodivergent condition, you're going to have more electrical energy going on in your brain, and there's more biochemical energy. And you have to think, like, biochemical electrical beings is what we are. And so this is why it's really important to ground to the earth. And, you know, and that doesn't have to be, you know, any intense movement. Even if you are just sitting in the grass, that's something I, you know, plan on trying to get myself to do later today. It's just, I wanted to do it during the show, but I'm just too overstimulated. I'm going to be way too overstimulated outside, because there's just, you know, people out, and it's a nice day, and that's totally fine. And so it's, you know, sometimes I have to find other ways of accommodating for myself too, which is remembering that I do have, you know, sensory issues, and I also get overstimulated, and that, you know, may impact, you know, even my ability to go outside sometimes and my ability to ground. And so that's why, you know, I like to sit on, you know, a ground level floor. Thankfully, my, I am able to sit on a ground level floor and, you know, in my home, and just kind of feel like I'm anchored to the earth in that way. You can do that on your porch. You could, you know, finding grass, like You know, finding places in general, it doesn't have to be a very physically demanding thing necessarily. But again, I know that different people with different disabilities and chronic illnesses, there's so many different types of limitations. So even if you have, you know, a chair, whether it is a wheelchair or, you know, a chair in general, being able to find a place where you can take your shoes off and sit where at least your feet are touching the ground, maybe not your whole body. Now for me, like as a floor person, and it's really hard for me to sit in chairs because of like my scoliosis and osteoarthritis and like my tailbone, lower hip region, that like sitting on things is weird for me. Sometimes, you know, I sit on, you know, this like rubber ball thing to help. But, you know, I keep my feet touching the earth. And so as long as, you know, like your feet are touching the earth, like, you know, barefooting, taking time to ground physically, that can look however it needs to for you. And, you know, I may not have the best advice for different people with different, you know, mobility limitations that are, you know, worse than mine. But, you know, you can find ways to be able to connect with the earth and to ground without having to be physically active, you know, even just a chair, you know, in the grass or whatever. And it's hard because even for myself, I realize that sometimes I have a hard time doing what I need to do for myself. A lot of, you know, and if you're somebody, you know, who, because of your neurodivergent condition or because of trauma, you know, really struggles with vocalizing your needs or even recognizing them for yourself, not even just vocalizing them to other people, but vocalizing and recognizing them for yourself. Or, and that could be because of mental reasons or, you know, even for myself, you know, trauma can play a role in that. But, you know, I also have issues with interoception and alexithymia, which, you know, interoception has to do with, you know, recognizing signals in the body, like what's going on with me. While alexithymia is having a hard time naming and placing and labeling emotions. Like I feel them, but, you know, I have a hard time explaining them or placing them. But it's easier for me to name, place, and understand other people's experiences than it is, you know, what's going on within my own body. And, you know, and if you have any issues like that or any, you know, trauma with gaslighting or anything like that, you know, that can make it really hard to know what's going on inside your body and what are your needs. And so it is a process of, you know, learning to accept yourself and heal with yourself. But barefooting does play a crucial role in healing in so many different ways. And I definitely wholeheartedly believe that from experience. I have barefoot a lot for, you know, like my autism and my ADHD, and I'm, you know, in the place to finally, you know, just be able to accept that I have both. But I also, you know, barefoot because of trauma and PTSD. I barefoot because of my fibromyalgia. I barefoot for spiritual reasons. I barefoot for, you know, my osteoarthritis, scoliosis, a bunch other stuff, you know. I, you know, there's so many different reasons why I barefoot, and there's so many different reasons why it is so crucial to my health. And they're all different, you know, aspects of health and different aspects of my existence and being, but they are so crucial to my well-being and so crucial to my life, living my life. And so as crazy as it may sound to other people, barefooting is an accommodation for many different people with many different types of conditions, whether that is neurodivergency, a physical disability, sensory issues of any kind, mental health, you know, emotional health, spiritual health. There's a lot to barefooting than most people realize. And I do think it is important for us to talk about mental health and talk about, you know, the factor that being neurodivergent and, you know, or having mental illness or having trauma can play into needing barefooting. These are things that unfortunately we don't talk enough about, you know, and I hope that in the future, once I'm out of, you know, my recovery burnout state that I've been really trying to work through, I feel like I'm kind of starting to get a get myself back net finally, but, you know, I have to recognize that it is still a process. You know, I do have a lot of things planned where we can talk about this in a more organized, educational way. But, you know, I've been in a place in my life where, you know, having to really just understand and process and be able to even describe my own experiences, which is something that I really struggled with my entire life. And it's crazy, but barefooting has really helped with it in a lot of ways, you know, and yeah, I've had to like learn how to communicate and exist, you know, like with my barefooting as well, but like in understanding it and labeling it and processing it in my own ways. But I've also had to, you know, work through a lot of other things that my barefooting has helped me with, because it's helped anchor and reduce and ground and, you know, just release all that excessive electrical energy in my body because of, you know, my ADHD, my autism, my PTSD, you know, my heart space, you know, just, you know, emotional, more of those emotional problems and complexes, you know, and in remembering too that we have to remember too that our bodies feel our emotions before they enter our conscious awareness. Our bodies are already feeling and experiencing and acting and preparing with those, you know, biochemical neurotransmitters before it enters our conscious awareness, especially if you have trauma, you know. And so we need to be aware that there are a lot of electrical things happening within our bodies and within our, I don't know, just within ourselves. And I guess I feel like I'm having a hard time explaining what I'm trying to say. But, you know, barefooting really does help relieve a lot of electrical energy, and it is very important. And when you are experiencing physical health issues, mental health issues, you know, chronic pain, a loss, you know, any type of emotional burdens and, you know, carrying stress or any stressors to your central nervous system, it's really important to ground yourself and ground the extra and excessive electrical energy for your well-being. And, you know, research has proven that barefooting helps reduce stressors to the central nervous system, and it actually helps strengthen the central nervous system. You know, barefooting is really good for controlling or helping a person, you know, maintain and increase their control over the mobility of their body. It's something that honestly I would recommend to anybody that has a physical disability. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to help or cure or fix all. Obviously, if you are, you know, in a position where you can't walk or move at all, like a paralysis or any other type of reason that has you fully immobilized or having to live an extremely sedentary lifestyle, I have no judgment for you. And I really understand that that may not be, you know, an easier, simple solution, and that's not going to cure you. But, you know, even being barefoot in moments like that, just so you can, you know, maybe not, maybe just, you know, it may not, you know, help necessarily, but, you know, seeing if it does help with your chronic pain, seeing if maybe, you know, because of all the pain that you're in, you're not even able to recognize that, oh, wearing shoes is adding more pain, or, you know, hurts my feet more, or I feel, you know, or they're just uncomfortable, or, you know, again, that stopping that flow of electrical energy, even if you're not able to walk. You know, even if you are, you know, in a chair or, you know, in something, or even if you're somebody in those kind of positions, you know, seeing if there is a way to be able to, you know, access, you know, grounding products and things like that, that may help as well. And it really sucks because I understand from personal experience that it's really hard for people with disabilities to afford things for your health and for your well-being, and to afford the things you need, even the type of health care you need, even the type of help you need. I completely understand that it is really hard, and that, you know, things like that aren't always accessible to people. And I understand that it's not easy for everyone. You know, households with, you know, just one disabled person on average require about 28% more income. And unfortunately, that is very rarely even met. You know, there's often a lower income, you know, being reached when you do have, you know, a disabled person, especially as an adult. And so it really, it is hard. So if there, you know, are any type of that, if people, you know, need these type of resources and, you know, need help, you know, we can even see about putting together, you know, GoFundMes, or I don't know if that's really necessarily what it is or what it would be, but what are they called? But, you know, just coming together and making, you know, community, like, you know, just a community donation program of some kind where, you know, people that, you know, need these resources, but it's not accessible to them, you know, like these grounding products, you know, people that may not be able to have barefooting, you know, if there are anything like that, any issues, any concerns, any ways that we can help, you know, community members that, you know, need to ground and with, you know, disabilities and are not able to, you know, barefoot or do these things, like, you know, let us know and we can put something together to be able, you know, we can talk to, see what we need to talk to, see what we need to do, because, you know, Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights, legalities, and health benefits of living the barefoot lifestyle and giving support to the, those that choose to live the, you know, barefoot lifestyle. So, you know, we're not here to profit off of anything. You know, this is a nonprofit organization. And so if there is any way that, you know, we can come together and find out what we need to do, you know, for people, you know, and obviously, you know, to, if you're able to, you know, give, you know, donations in any kind of way and want to look into that more, you know, you can also contact us and, but see if there's any way you want to give support. But obviously there is, because there are sites that we can, you know, you can set this up to make sure that there's not going to be like any, you know, funny business going on, if that makes any sense. But if there, you know, if there are ways that, you know, people need help, if there's issues that need addressed, you know, reaching out and letting us know what we can do as a community here at Barefoot is Legal to make things easier. You know, I'm willing to figure out, you know, what we need to talk to, what we need to do, you know, to figure out, even if it's just me, you know, giving my general support for people outside of this organization, you know, too, like, I don't know where I'm going with this. I guess the ADHD thoughts are taking the best of me, but I do understand that, you know, these things, it's not very easy for disabled people or people with disabilities in general. However, you personally choose to be referred to as, but, you know, it is really important to have community. Community is the strongest, most crucial thing to change and reformation and rebuilding and just restoration in general. You know, there's a lot of disconnection. We as people are disconnected from the earth, literally our electrical energy disconnected from the earth. You know, a lot of people, you know, have been so disconnected from each other. And I think it's really important to, you know, come back and connect. And it's hard because, you know, I'm having to also learn, you know, the equilibrium and balance within myself of knowing when it's time to pull in and recharge. And so, you know, as important as community is, you do also need those times to pull in and recharge for yourself, recharge your battery, or just also just get rid of some of that excessive, harmful, you know, radical electrical activity that's, you know, causing damage. And, you know, that's something you can do alone. Just having, you know, solitude and isolation are not the same thing, you know. And that's something that I've been learning the balance between is, you know, finding those moments of peaceful solitude and then also knowing when, okay, when are you isolating yourself? When is this becoming a problem? And it can be a really hard fine line to understand. But as important as community and togetherness and networks are, it is also very incredibly important to take care of yourself, take care of your own body, take care of the different dimensions of self. You know, we're mental, we're physical, we're emotional, I believe anyway that we're spiritual, we're energetic, you know, as an electromagnetic field. And there's so many other different dimensions of us. And it's really important to really just start embracing, you know, our natural flow, our natural energy flow is what I'm talking about, you know, our natural state of being and how it ebbs and flows. You know, sometimes we have more energy than other times, and we have to respect it like a river. You know, when is the river running high and when is the river running low? And knowing how to adjust accordingly without, you know, causing more harm or damage, and finding balance. And remembering too that, you know, solitude isn't always shutting down. You know, if you're somebody that experienced shutdowns, whether that's, you know, for me, you know, it's autism, ADHD, and PTSD. For other people, that could be different combinations, different conditions that may cause you to experience some type of shutdown. You know, that's not always the same thing too as solitude and peace. But at the same time, when my body needs to shut down, I need to respect that. For me, that's what it needs to do to reset my central nervous system. And so, you know, we need to like be in equilibrium and listening to our central nervous system, listening to our body, listening to our mind, listening to our heart dimension, listening to all these different dimensions and aspects of self, and like, what's going on here? You know, how do I need to recharge? How do I need to refuel? How can I build myself up? How can I allow myself to rest? How can I release? What do I need to release? And we need that downtime in order to make sense of what's going on within us sometimes too. So if your body is telling you it has to shut down, obviously, give me 1 second. Sorry, guys. I'm going to have an interruption. You shot it? Oh. Sorry, guys. I had to an interruption. I'm going to run a quick ad break real quick if the computer will let me and get back to what I was saying after the break, I guess. If I can get, okay, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get any ads to work. Sorry, I'm trying to remember what I was saying now. I don't know how to explain.
Okay. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I take a quick ad break. But had some distractions in my physical environment. But we're all good. But what I'm saying is, you know, needing to respect, you know, your body and what kind of state it's in and where and what that looks like. If you have some type of, you know, condition that causes, you know, shutdowns, respecting when your body needs that break and that rest and needs to shut down, but also remembering that, you know, you can have that solitude without completely shutting down. You know, sometimes when we need that solitude and we need that time to just let go, recuperate, you know, taking some time to just sit outside, find a place where you can be alone or where you feel safe, you know, even if that's not that far from your front door or your back door or whatever, you know, finding just a place where you can just sit, whether it's a park, you know, by your home, whatever, or anywhere, you know, even if it's, you know, on your work lunch break or whatever, finding a place within just a patch of earth, a patch of grass, whatever, where you can just, you know, connect with the earth and allow it to let go, and just finding those moments of solitude where you can find them, even, you know, solitude isn't always going to be, you know, this long-term thing, but finding those moments where you can just ground and anchor and release. Because it is really important to make sure we are, you know, releasing that excessive electrical energy in our bodies, as, you know, there is research that has proven that, you know, different, you know, health conditions, you know, if they're not grounded properly, you know, that plays a huge role in chronic pain, plays a huge role in, you know, blood pressure issues even, and there's just a long list of different chronic health issues, honestly, that can be made worse from not being grounded properly. And you have to think, too, that, you know, when you're experiencing, you know, illness and these conditions, when you have these, you know, even for myself, with the fibro, when you have these haywire, you know, conditions in your body, you know, as, you know, fibromyalgia is a neurological condition even, when you have these, you know, haywire signals, you're going to have this excessive electrical energy, and it's really important to ground and let it go. And, you know, even, you know, houses and buildings, you know, even electrical things on earth are grounded to the earth, because that's how we can safely ground electrical energy. And I think it's really interesting how, you know, the destruction of the earth has gone alongside to people themselves being disconnected from the earth and us, you know, not really respecting our environment. And I really do believe that if more people barefooted and understood the importance of barefooting, more people would take care of their physical environment around them. Most of the physical threats that, you know, there is to barefooting, you know, especially for children, aren't because of nature necessarily, aren't because of
necessarily reasonable things, but there's underlying issues within the community. You know, if you're worried about, you know, a child stepping on random broken glass and, you know, then that's another issue within the physical environment. If you're worried about your kids stepping on needles of some kind, that's a safety threat within the environment. If you have safety threat risks, you know, with children being able to barefoot in classrooms because schools aren't safe, then that's an underlying issue of safety. And so a lot of times there are other underlying issues with safety within communities and within the general, you know, community that we live in, you know, unfortunately. Sorry, I was trying to take a drink of this and I made noise. But you need to remember that there are often other threats, you know, to our nervous system and as well as other threats to our physical bodies within these environments that need to be addressed. And, you know, those physical attacks to the nervous system can be a key reason to why barefooting is important. But then, you know, key physical threats in the environment can be a big reason why barefooting may not be safe for children. And so we need to look at these underlying threats and issues around safety and understanding, too, that safety is a very complex thing. You know, if you're somebody that has sensory issues around wearing shoes, then that can cause you to, you know, experience some level of, you know, unsafety. A lot of people with, you know, autism and ADHD, you know, can have issues with sensory issues of wearing shoes. And, you know, that can feel like a level of physical safety that is internal, but it is still very much a real experience that somebody is going through. And so we need to just be in equilibrium and ebb and flow with our bodies and the different dimensions of ourselves. And, you know, barefooting and connecting to the earth, you know, is very important in so many different ways and with so many different aspects of health and healing, even when it comes to, you know, emotions and traumas and darker things in our lives. You know, barefooting can play a huge role in, you know, coming back into your body and, you know, processing things emotionally, being able to shed away what is here and now and what is in the past. You know, even for myself, I feel like barefooting is very crucial to just bringing me back in my body and grounding me to this moment, to the everyday, as well as just literally grounding that excessive electrical energy from, you know, being an overthinker and having different chronic illnesses. And so it is really important to listen to our bodies, understanding that barefooting can be a very simple accommodation in a way of helping and helping treat a lot of different issues in the body because of the research that has been done with electrical energy. And if you go, you know, to the Instagram Real Barefoot is Legal in the link tree, there is a link tagged, let me find it so I don't mess up the title, 30 benefits of grounding, barefoot walking, and earthing, which I do recommend reading. Actually, I want to pull it up right now because I want to look over it. So this article, you know, it is a pretty easy read for a lot of, like, you know, earth grounding research, but it's because it's more of like a journalism type post, if that makes any sense. But it does reference a lot of different grounding and earthing research, but it's not something that is, you know, it is a long article, but it's not too heavy to read, and it's doesn't require, you know, knowing different medical terminology or anything like that, really. So, you know, barefooting in general, you know, you're going to have more stability and you're going to be moving more efficiently with your skeletal system. You know, when shoes that were originally, you know, created, even the shoes that are more similar to the shoes that people wear nowadays, you know, they were still fitted to people's feet more naturally. And nowadays, everything is just in these generalized size categories. But, you know, people have even different feet, and there are a lot of issues with bunions and different conditions where people end up having to have surgeries on their feet because of the maladaptive effects of, you know, wearing ill-fitting shoes, not being able to find the right size, or wearing certain types of shoes that just really aren't good for your feet at all.
And so even if, you know, you have a type of job or you're, you know, often in environments where it's not safe to barefoot, you know, finding time where you can still be mobile and barefoot to be able to, you know, stabilize and have more control over your body and to be able to fully engage all those muscles and ligaments properly is really important. You know, shoes, you know, are a tool, you know, that may be necessary at different, you know, times and in different environments and in different things. But at the same time, you know, there can be a lot of downsides with them as well. And this isn't to tell people that they should stop wearing their shoes. You do you. You do what is comfortable for your body. But, you know, we are here to remind people that if this is something that is negatively impacting you, you know, by this being wearing shoes, you know, if wearing shoes is something that negatively impacts you and that is, and being barefoot is a simple accommodation for a lot of different chronic health conditions, mental health conditions, sensory issues, neurodivergency, or whatever else, then that's okay. And there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. So, sorry, Sorry. Give me a second. I have to pop in for a second. I have a, my partner has family in town, so, yeah. But where was I going with this? Sorry, guys, trying to anchor my brain today. And I definitely feel like I myself need to go outside and, you know, be able to ground and connect with the earth after the show today. And because it's definitely important, I know for myself, if I don't, you know, ground enough, I definitely feel it. You know, for me, I do like to have predictability, a plan, a structure, an idea. It's been a very unpredictable week. Unfortunately, Audrey has been having some health issues. So she texted me just a minute ago or a few minutes ago. So she unfortunately could not be on here with us today. So, you know, it's just me, Phoenix, here today. But barefooting definitely does play a crucial role in just accommodating for myself and for my health, for treating different issues with my body. And you just have to remember that, you know, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not breaking the law. And if anything, it's actually illegal. It is actually illegal for a store employee, even a store business owner, whatever, to tell you that you cannot barefoot in a place that is open to the public. It is illegal. There are no laws or health codes against you barefooting there. Them not liking it is not a that's not a simple legal answer. Unfortunately, though, people do still, you know, try it. They really do. Unfortunately, they still try it. You know, we'll try to until you leave. But like Audrey and I, you know, talked about last week, you know, sometimes when workers, you know, say things like that, it's because they honestly don't know. They don't know. They think that it's illegal. They just don't know that it's not. And they're worried that if they don't say something to you, that they're going to lose their job, which again, like we always talk about how, you know, sometimes the threats to barefooting are not barefooting itself, but there are underlying issues within that environment that pose a threat to safety. But even when, you know, workers are so worried about losing their job for whatever reason and that they feel like they have to make sure that they can't tell somebody who's barefooting to be in there because they're worried about losing their job, like that just shows that there's a deeper issue there within the working environment and whatnot. But a lot of people just don't know that it's that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. Unfortunately, a lot of people do think it's illegal. But those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs, they're actually illegal. There are no laws or health codes against a person barefooting in a grocery store, at a convenience store, a gas station, any place that is open to the general public. Even if you go into a store and you end up not buying anything, even if you aren't a literal paying customer, even if you go in there to just look for something, they don't have it, and you leave and you don't buy anything else, you're still allowed to go in there barefoot because you are a member of the public and they have their store, business, or whatever open to the public. You know, there are no laws or health codes against you barefooting at a public library or a police station or even a court building. You know, like Audrey's talked about, you know, she had to go to court for, I don't even remember why. I mean, it was nothing major, but, you know, and even she was in front of a judge barefoot and she was in the courthouse and nobody said anything. She's been, you know, into, you know, police stations and different things and different, we've both been to doctor's offices and different things like that. There are no laws or health codes against you barefooting. If it is something that is accommodating for, you know, a disability, a chronic illness, a physical condition, a mental health condition even, like that is an accommodation and there are no laws or health codes against that. And, you know, and we also have to remember too that, you know, of course it's not a one size fits all. Not everything works for everybody. Yeah. It may not be, you know, a simple accommodation for you. There are some people that have sensory issues that make it impossible for them to barefoot or have different reasons why they can't barefoot, but they still may have issues with, you know, regular shoes. They may still have other, but have other, you know, foot requirements or whatever. You know, unfortunately, there are so many different, you know, different conditions and they are a spectrum and not everybody is going to have, you know, the same solutions, the same treatment options, the same results, the same experiences, the same anything, you know, and even as barefooters, even, you know, with people that have the same or similar whatever conditions, there's still different people with different bodies, different experiences, different lives, so many differences between us all that our journeys are not going to be the same. And so this is why it's really important to make sure that we are not comparing ourselves to other people. Unfortunately, there is a lot of comparison, you know, culture within the media, within social media as well, and just with the internet in general. You know, there's this constant kind of compare and pit against type of, you know, culture that we do see. Of course, not all of the internet is like that, and not everywhere is going to be like that, but it's really important to make sure that we are not, you know, adding to that in any way, you know. And it's okay to have your own insecurities. It's okay, you know, to be like, dang, I wish I was there, or wish I could do that, like the way that person does. You know, and it's okay to think that, but allow yourself to be inspired by that person more than, you know, allowing yourself to be jealous or allowing yourself to lash out or be angry or have any type of negative output, you know. It's really important to have community and togetherness. You know, none of us, you know, are here to be better than each other, and we shouldn't be. We should really only be striving to be better than ourselves and to be better versions of ourselves and to understand ourselves better and have more control of ourselves and whatnot, and to just elevate ourselves as people and however that looks like, you know, best for us. That, you know, so unfortunately, you know, there can be a lot of this comparison culture, but remembering that it's okay to have insecurities and it's okay to feel like you're just not where you want to be. It's normal. It's normal. But that's when we need to realize that we're setting unrealistic expectations for our journey and where we're supposed to be with this. Because if it was supposed to be, then it would already be, especially if you're putting in your effort and putting in all your time. You know, things are going to happen and play out for a reason. Reason we may not understand, but we all have, you know, different cycles within ourselves that, you know, we have to grow through and work through. And so, you know, having to reevaluate our ideas of time and timelines and expectations for ourselves and our bodies and treating our health, whatever aspect of health that may be that you're treating and working through. But also understanding that, you know, the different accommodations for different people are not the same either. You know, nothing is one size fits all. But there is a lot of research and
information out there that shows that barefooting is extremely beneficial for your health and can be a crucial accommodation for many different people with many different chronic illnesses and different neurodivergent conditions and whatnot. So, you know, there are no laws or health codes against it. Do not allow yourself to be bullied. Do not allow yourself to be put down. You know your rights. And, you know, whenever, and like, I know Audrey always goes, her response is always with the why, you know, when they tell her that she can't be in there for barefooting. Her response is always, well, why? Because she likes to see why they think that and why they're saying that. And I do think that it can be a really good place to start, too, if you really want to figure out, you know, like a good response on how to debunk them. I personally, honestly, though, I'll be honest, I just sometimes I don't have the energy and I don't have the time for it to even have that kind of conversation. I'm just like, I immediately go off with, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. It is illegal for you to tell me I can't be in here with no shoes. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting. Like, if anything, you're the one breaking the law by telling me I can't. This is an accommodation for, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever you want to say, or this is accommodation for my health, disability, whatever you want to say. And I just kind of leave it at that. And, but then I'm always like, but then if they want to push back, you know, I'm just like, I'll go somewhere else. I'm not going to give my money to someplace that's going to break the law. And, but I'm also, it's just how I am. But at the same time, I do think it is also important for us to push back and just be like, I'm going to be here, you know, but it's okay too. If you're in those days where you're just like, I'm not dealing with conflict, I'd rather, you know, support a business where you're welcomed and accepted. But at the same time, if you have the energy, remember to push back, especially against these corporations. Like, we're not going to allow ourselves to be put down. You know, if this is something that is an accommodation, as you know, for your health and your well-being, as well as something that just makes your life better and you're not breaking any laws or health codes, like, what place do they have to say to kick you out when you're not breaking any laws? You're not. You're living your life, trying to just get what you need and do what you need to do. And if a place is open to the public, then they're open to the public, first of all. But I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. All right. But you also have to remember, too, that, you know, it is not your job to educate everyone. You know, it's not your job to make them understand. It's not your job to make everybody understand. It's not your job to make everyone see things the way you do. So, you know, you shouldn't take on that excessive mental responsibility by any means. And sometimes it's hard because, you know, you can look back on things and like, oh, well, I should have said this. I should have done this more. Well, I should have made them see it this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. It's your job to stand up for yourself and live your life as authentically as you can. Authenticity is the key to living our best lives. You know, even when it comes to our negative emotions and the negative parts of us, if we can embrace them in, you know, those moments of when they affect us and work through them rather than ignore and bury them, you know, that through that type of authenticity, we can actually work through and overcome our problems. And finding when are those times and places to, you know, feel them and experience them. And, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of stigma still to this day around these things. But it's important to understand that we're all people and we need to, you know, live authentically within our lives. And we cannot, you know, dictate other people and how they live and how they experience life and how they choose to feel and see and think and perceive the world. You know, we're not here to tell you that you have to be barefoot or you have to take your shoes off, but there is a lot of benefits to barefooting. And if you're somebody that has, you know, a different, has varying, you know, chronic illnesses, whether, you know, neurodivergent conditions or whatever, you know, this can be a very crucial accommodation for you if you're dealing with trauma. Like, this can be a crucial way to help you step back into your body, work through these things, process these emotions with different types of therapy. And, you know, something that I find really important and crucial is, you know, some type of dance music therapy and, you know, just accepting where my body is in terms of mobility and even too is a huge part of that, and not putting any rules or limitations on what my mobility or movement or dance or whatever has to look like, but instead focusing on just moving and stretching and, you know, processing things. You know, our bodies feel and, you know, our emotions before they enter our conscious awareness. And especially if we were, you know, our brain suppressed things to protect ourselves, or, you know, we do it intentionally ourselves, you know, we can block these things out of our conscious awareness, but our bodies are still going to experience them. And, you know, your feet are very key, you know, to, if you know anything about reflexology, you know, your feet are very crucial. Your feet are very crucial to the skeletal system, the muscle system, the lymphatic system. They're even, you know, feet can be very crucial with, you know, blood pressure, circulation and whatnot. And so, you know, the feet are a very important, you know, part of the body for us to look at in health. And, you know, so many people, you know, are like, oh, they're gross, blah, blah. That may be true. Okay. They may be, but, you know, if that, and if you think feet are gross, like, okay, valid, like, whatever, but they're still a part of our body and they still have a crucial role in our health and our well-being. And, you know, we need to accept all parts of our bodies and the different aspects of health that come with them, you know, and how can we take care of ourselves better? And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why, you know, lymphatic waste can build up in the body. But, you know, the feet can be a really key area with releasing a lot of that. You know, I, you know, for my different muscle and issues and whatnot else, you know, I, you know, use like this massager thing on my body, you know, a couple of times a day. And not only does this, you know, help with my muscles and my bones and my joints and just helping in those different ways, it also, you know, does help drain a lot of that lymphatic waste. So, like, you know, even massaging your feet in different areas of the feet can be really key for removing a lot of lymphatic waste. The lymphatic system is very crucial to human health, but unfortunately, it has been ignored by most Western medicine and mainstream, you know, academia, and, you know, and I think that, you know, we are starting to see a shift within, you know, younger generations and just realizing the importance of a lot of different natural medicine. You know, people aren't crazy. You know, the people that lived, you know, any groups of people, you know, any type of culture or groups of people that live, you know, close to the earth, and most people are very disconnected from that in one way or another, you know, they weren't crazy. They weren't just making stuff up. There was a reason why they used X, Y, Z for medicine. There's a reason why, you know, they focused on the parts of the bodies or did the different types of treatments that they did. And, you know, people have used plants and herbs and different natural medicine as medicine way longer than we've used pharmaceutical drugs for any type of medicine. And so it can be really important to remember that we need to meet halfway. You know, I'm not here to demonize all modern medicine, but unfortunately there is a long history of people in, you know, white Western modern medicine and mainstream academia demonizing a lot of, you know, different cultural wisdoms and practices, even ancient European cultural wisdoms and practices, and labeling things as witchcraft and things like that. And we really need to, you know, listen to our bodies and listen to ourselves and remember that, you know, we are a part of our ecosystem. We are a part of the earth. We are a part of, you know, the ecosystem in which we live in. And unfortunately, you know, humans in general and most modern people are very disconnected from their ecosystem and their environment. But we are very much so a part of it, and we always have been. And, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, this destruction of the earth and, you know, a lot of skyrocketing
rates of chronic illness and cancers and different negative aspects of health have gone directly alongside us being disconnected from the earth more and more in this misguided advancement. I think that, you know, advancement of technology and things like this, it is crucial. It is very important. But we need to make sure that it is, you know, stable within our ecosystems and that this is something that can be maintained and that, you know, in our attempt for advancements that we're not destroying, you know, our ecosystems and, you know, polluting the earth or, you know, destroying even human health and our bodies in the process. But unfortunately, with a lot of issues regarding, you know, climate change and, you know, chemical dumpings and natural disasters, as well as even, you know, man-made disasters and incidents, you know, there have been so many, you know, railroad, what would you call them, derailments, I guess. Is what I'm trying to say, railroad derailments that have, you know, caused pollution all across the country more than is making mainstream media. And these are definitely real things that do impact our ability to safely connect with the environment and to safely build a barefoot. So if you're somewhere that has been, you know, your community and your the ecosystem in which you live in has been greatly impacted by, you know, pollution, you know, obviously barefooting is not something that is going to be as accessible. But so it is important to find other ways. I do still recommend of being able to ground. And there are different devices and tools as well. But I think that we need to remember that there are a lot of different safety threats to our environment and to barefooting that aren't inherently because of being barefoot, but are because of systematic issues affecting our planet and our ecosystems that are not being adequately dealt with by any means. And, you know, we need to remember this is why community is so important. This is why taking care of our environment is so important. And yes, one person is not going to make, you know, a huge magical light, you know, overnight change themselves. But, you know, we still have control over ourselves and our bodies to some degree. You know, we have to live in ebb and flow of recognizing the limitations of our bodies and our health and our minds in order to take care of ourselves, because when we respect those natural limitations, it actually makes it easier for us to excel and thrive and reach our full potential when we have those adequate rests and our bodies are taken care of. Things are going to be a lot more sustainable. There's going to be a lot more sustainability, you know, and, you know, barefooting can be, you know, a crucial part of, you know, for me and many other people, of creating that stability of ebb and flow of listening to your body, of course. But, you know, we are able to make a difference over things in our environment. You know, Audrey and I have talked about, you know, how when we go on barefoot, you know, hikes or walks or whatever, you know, taking bags and picking up glass ourselves, you know, and, you know, I haven't really had any issues with walking over glass in a long, it's been a while since I've had issues with walking over glass because, you know, your feet do adapt to the environment. Obviously, if you're new to this, like, it does take time to build, you know, that resistance to, you know, being able to handle different textures, environments, being able to, you know, not get stabbed by broken glass or anything like that. And you do have to be careful of the smaller pieces more than you actually have to be worried about the bigger pieces because of, like, the surface pressure. With the little pieces, it's easier to cut your foot open than with, you know, just bigger pieces, if that makes sense. But at the same time, if you're new to this, like, yeah, stay away, you know, pay attention. Remember, when you're barefooting, you need to pay attention. But I think a lot of people who don't barefoot also forget that, you know, people that do barefoot, and especially when doing this for a while, like, we are paying a lot of attention to the ground where we walk and where we step. But, you know, I've walked through areas where, you know, you really can't afford or can't really move around or get around the broken glass and still haven't, you know, hurt my feet or anything. This is something that takes time to build up and adapt to, you know. So be safe, listen to your body. If,
you know, you're someone that's new to this, I definitely recommend, you know, having a pair of shoes with you for when it is too much on your feet, so you don't end up hurting yourself. Because if you overdo it and hurt yourself, you're going to set yourself back a lot more than if you just listen to those limitations for your body. But at the same time, you know, going back to, you know, having control of our environments and safety, remembering that we can do something about these things. You know, picking up trash, picking up broken glass, picking up whatever, you know, making sure that, you know, you have maybe gloves or any kind of, you know, protection that you may need, you know, hand sanitizer, you know, some way that you can disinfect your hands or whatever, too, depending on, you know, what you're picking up. But we can have control over our environments more than, you know, it can feel like at times. I know it can feel like, a, you know, a hopeless time for a lot of people. And I know a lot of people who barefoot, you know, are, you know, nature people. But I recognize that not everyone who barefoots is a nature person either. But I know a lot of people that I've talked to right now, it's just a really hard time feeling so worried and feeling like we don't have control over things. But, you know, there are a lot of different people and organizations that, you know, do care about the planet, that do care about the earth, that do care about human health, and, you know, are doing what they need to be doing and doing the best they can, you know. And there is a general, you know, conscious shift that, you know, has been occurring over generations, you know, that has led up to, you know, the youth being more mindful of the environment, more aware of what's going on in these implications and factors, and more aware of, you know, human health and mental health even. And so it's important for us to remember that it's not like all hope is lost. It's not like there's no time left, but it is important for us to, you know, remember that we do have control, and that's how we beat fear. That's how we beat anxiety. And how we beat the fear-mongering and these power structures is by taking back what control we do have over our environments. And if all you can start with is picking up trash and glass and whatever else you can in your environment, or if that's, you know, planting native flowers in your garden that are native to, you know, the area that you live in, you know, there are different, you know, people have been doing, you know, like insect releases for like ladybugs, and there's this other one I can't remember. But, you know, there are different people that are doing different things to help restore the environment around them and being in, you know, restoring these ecosystems. And so, you know, I recommend other people just finding ways that you can get involved in what you can do and what you do have control over. Because we may not be able to, you know, snap our fingers and it all be magically fixed. But, you know, we do have some control over our environment and over our lives. And those small changes matter. But especially when we come together as people's communities, you know, that's how changes happen. And that's how real change and sustainable change occurs. That's how you have, you know, change that is for the people and not change that is to benefit some leech that wants power, honestly. So we need to really be mindful of what we're even entertaining in our own heads, because our own fears and our own anxiety and our own paranoias, you know, I'm somebody that still, you know, can struggle with these things. And, you know, we have to keep these in check. We have to remind ourselves that these fears, they are normal and they are natural and they're reasonable to have, but we can have more control over our environment and make it a safer place for people to be able to barefoot, for children to be able to barefoot, for people to be able to safely connect to the earth. Like, we can make that possible, you know. And if you're worried about children, you know, being able to barefoot at certain parks or certain places, you know, maybe, you know, coming together as the adults or parents in your community, however you can, and finding ways to be able to, you know, clean up these parks. And I get it that when people are working, that's not always a feasible thing. But if you are somebody, you know, that doesn't, you know, is, you know, I understand that stay-at-home moms do have, you know, are very much so, it is a real job and you are doing real work for sure. But, you know, how can you, if you are somebody that has the time and the ability to do these things and has the accessibility, you know,
how can, you know, you guys as community members or family members or whatever come together to clean the parks or do this and that, even if it's just that those days before the kids go out and play, you know, or if, you know, you and a couple other parents are going to, you know, have a play date with your kids together, you know, how can you as adults, you know, okay, like taking turns who's, you know, who can watch the kids for a second while, you know, so-and-so and, you know, cleans up or whatever, you know, finding ways to make our environment safer and finding what control we do have. And it may not seem like much and it may seem stressful at first, but the anxiety is probably going to be there no matter what. If you're worried about the environment, if you're worried about safety, the anxiety is always going to kind of be there. But when you take action and you're able to kind of do something about it and make those small steps, it is going to help keep that anxiety under control and help you maintain a level of control over your body. And the best way to, you know, see the reality that we want to see in front of us is to make those physical actions and changes, however small they may be or however big they may feel, you know, finding what are we able to do. We do have control of our environments, and barefooting is very, you know, important for human health, but it's also very important for children with, you know, motor skill development, and, you know, being able to, you know, understand their bodies and balance and developing coordination. And some kids in general too, you know, they can get very overstimulated. You know, children that have autism and or ADHD can get very overstimulated and have sensory issues around wearing shoes. That makes them just something that is just almost impossible or feels imprisoning for them. And so it's really important to, you know, listen and engage and understand, because sometimes when kids don't have the communication skills to explain things, they may seem like they're just trying to be defiant and, you know, hateful and ill-tempered, but you'll really find out that there's a reason, there's an underlying reason to why this is happening. But, you know, children don't have the ability to communicate on the level that we as adults do and have to develop over time. And so remembering that, you know, kids always don't have the ability to communicate what's going on with their bodies and what they're experiencing and what they're feeling. But, you know, how can, you know, we be more understanding, more accommodating and accepting of different children that may have different conditions, that, you know, barefooting is a very real accommodation for, is very crucial. And remembering that, you know, if you're an adult who barefoots, there are probably children in your life that may also need that as well. But I understand that for safety reasons, kids still need to have rules and boundaries. But being able to have those conversations with children about when and where and why they can and cannot wear shoes in terms of their safety and well-being is very crucial to maintaining, you know, that respectful, reciprocal relationship with a child, and also being able to help them learn to accommodate and advocate and recognize their own needs. And we are on the 90-second warning of the show. I just realized that somebody has had their hand up, and I'm sorry that we didn't get to your call today. And I know this show is a little bit over all over the place. Audrey was supposed to call in. Very unexpected show today with the way things kind of played out. And I'll be honest, definitely a very anxiety-inducing day for me because of all the things around this. So I hope you guys still enjoyed the show. And I'm sorry to the caller who I see has their hand up that we didn't get to today. If you're able, you know, to call in next week and would like to talk more and share, you know, on different things, definitely please let us, you know in the future. Audrey might be able to be back with us next week. Unfortunately, she has some health issues going on today. But remember, guys, to just keep living your best style. And there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as health benefits, and just community and support for the barefoot lifestyle. So you can check us out on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal. I recommend checking out the link tree in the bio there. But we are coming out at the end of the show, so take care, live your best barefoot lifestyle, and you'll hear from us next week. Bye-bye.